Whoops. So today is Wednesday, the 7th of October, right? 2009. And this is our sitting group. And does anyone have a question or a comment about meditation in general or tonight or anything else? And then we'll dive into kind of the main event. Okay. Let's see if I have anything I want to say about that. No, actually. I think that's great. So we have a relatively, comparatively, small group tonight, which is actually convenient given my aim here, which is I'd like to get into some of the detail of loving-kindness practices, the form of them, the targets, the attitudes. I don't think we've ever really gotten into the detail of that, and I think you could find that pretty interesting and pretty useful. Okay? And it usually will stir up other good stuff, including how in the world can we bring loving kindness to difficult people, or even worse, ourselves. All right? Okay. So as you're probably familiar with the drill by now, I have fished out the fairly famous sutta in Buddhism, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. So if you already have one of these, no worries, otherwise grab one and pass them along if you could. So we all have one. These supposedly, who knows exactly, but supposedly these are actually the words of the Buddha, probably edited somewhat. I find it quite remarkable to imagine them coming down to us over 2,500 years. Everybody have one? Everyone just pass them along. And this basically is, one way to think of it, is an instruction from him that has a kind of, as it's called, exhortatory quality. He is exhorting us in some ways. He's encouraging us to do things. But it's not framed moralistically. It's not that this is some kind of homily on being a good person. Rather, this is an instruction manual by a master of the machinery of the mind on how to turbocharge that machinery, right? Really get all those cylinders firing in the right direction and go full speed down the highway of awakening. So that's how to kind of take this. And so as we often do, if we could, just go around the room and each person read a line. If you want to skip your turn, it's perfectly okay. And we'll kind of go maybe this way and go around the circle and then weave through the middle and then start up again. So I'll begin. This is what should be done.
By one who is skilled in goodness
and who knows the path of peace.
Let them be able and upright,
straightforward and gentle in speech.
Humble and not conceited.
Contented and easily satisfied.
Unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways.
Peaceful and calm and wise and skillful.
Not proud and demanding in nature.
Let them not do the slightest thing.
That the wise will later reprove.
Wishing in gladness and in safety.
May all beings be at ease.
Whatever living beings, there may be.
Whether they are weak or strong, omitting none.
The great or the mighty medium, short or small,
the seen and the unseen.
Those living near and far away.
Those born and to be born.
May all beings be at ease.
Let none deceive another.
Or despise any being in any state.
Let none through anger or ill will.
Wish harm upon another.
Even as a mother protects with her life.
Her child, her own child.
So with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world,
spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths.
Outwards and unbounded,
free from hatred and ill will.
Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down,
free from godliness.
one should sustain this recollection.
This is said to be the sublime abiding.
By not holding to fixed views.
The pure-hearted one, having charity of vision, clarity of vision,
being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
All right. Thank you. Are you noticing anything? I think this is the fourth time we've done this. Do you notice anything about what it's like to do it repeatedly? No? I noticed for me that that the lines somehow are popping out more with clarity. You know, the individual lines sort of have a deeper meaning. Rather than being almost like an incantation, they're really starting to say something very pointed. Yeah. How about, were you going to say something there?
I won't say what I had in mind. It's pretty ridiculous or daring. Well, I'll say it. Come on. Haven't said that.
What a tease, you know? Okay.
You know, I actually. I do have some trepidation about putting this out, but I will say it. I personally experience others' voices with an intermediary voice of my own that's saying it to me. I don't know how anybody could exist otherwise. That's just my own. I've noticed that lately. In this case, these words 4 weeks ago didn't sound really familiar at all to me. Just after four times, the beginning to. So that's nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. Well, what we talked about last time was playing off the line in here. You could take any one of these lines, and sometimes I think it's kind of fun, almost as if it's a fortune cookie, to pay attention to the line that you land on, you know, and what might be the special meaning to you of that particular line. But in any case, last time we talked about the line basically about so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings. And we really talked about what that meant, actually cherish. And the kind of deep meaning of that, particularly for people we don't know well, is we allow them to matter to us, if you recall. So we talked about that, letting other people matter to us. Doesn't mean that we're going to give them the mortgage to our house or the shirt off our back, but we let them matter. And so did anyone have any experience of letting people matter?
And that was our homework.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and any kind of exploration of that. Yeah.
I remember, in fact, pretty much months ago or something like that, just a young girl jumping in front of a train down south of San Francisco.
Mm.
And really just bringing that to me. It really mattered to me at that point. I was like, I started crying. Her life really mattered at that point.
Yeah.
That was really, I don't know when it's a war, really. But it just,
thank you.
At that point, it really mattered to me just that she can kill herself, so she needs all those. I almost pray for her, you know, in some ways.
Yes. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, in the back, please.
I noticed that the more I study Buddhism, that the more sensitive I am to other people, and they matter to me more. It's like we're not separate anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that I can't really watch the news. It will get stuck, like this Michael Jackson story. I think about him and I think how much he must have suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And that nobody helped him, you know. And most people, I know they just, this goes right over their heads, but like now I hear these things and it's different.
Yeah, it touches your heart.
Yeah.
You know, a phrase is, the heart quivers, right? With all beings, yeah. We feel more and more as if we're on this net, and all beings are different nodes in the net, and we're all together, so that it's like a spider web, you know, that could feel the landing of a fly. We feel a reverberation in the force loop, you know, we feel that, right? Yeah. Is that okay with you? Because of course when we become more open to the world, we feel the 10,000 sorrows.
It's difficult. I don't really, part of me says, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
But it also feels really good to feel connected and open.
Yeah.
So I protect myself a little bit by not watching the news.
Yeah. That's where equanimity is really highly valued. And as you may know, of the four so-called divine abodes or heavenly abidings, you know, places where, states of mind basically, that have an exalted quality to them. And we can certainly have them, and they are really, really perfected in someone who's completely awakened. Those four are loving kindness, compassion, what's called sympathetic joy, in other words, happiness for the good fortune of others, but also, most fundamental of all, equanimity. Equanimity. Equanimity really allows us to open our heart. Because otherwise, if we don't have sufficient equanimity, we just get so blown away. It's paradoxically, the capacity to say stable and spacious helps us hold these extremely heartfelt, gushy feelings and intentions toward others. So it's a good takeaway. You know, equanimity without a lot of loving kindness can be kind of dry, starts moving almost toward indifference, whereas tons and tons of loving kindness can become mere sentimentality or just being overwhelmed by the world. It requires equanimity to really ground it. So. Okay, great. Anybody else about letting people matter? Okay. It's an interesting practice, isn't it? To imagine just going through the day and letting someone you don't know matter to you. And it's interesting that what immediately follows is a natural movement of goodwill toward them. If they matter to us, we wish them well. It just kind of naturally happens. We don't have to make ourselves wish them well. It's the natural movement of wishing them well. So to go the other way, if we are to be sincere about wishing them well, we have to let them matter to us some. They go together. And so if you could keep that in mind now as I talk about some of the traditional structures of doing loving kindness practices. For some of you, this may be a little bit familiar or very familiar. It's okay. It's always good to kind of, I think, come back to this. The basic idea is that as it says in here, one should cherish all beings, radiating kindness in all directions as an ongoing practice. And so we do this kind of practice, which the Buddha, by the way, described as a complete path to awakening. The path of love as a complete path, as a sufficient path to go all the way, which is quite remarkable, quite remarkable. That we do this practice both under normal conditions and during meditation. Now, sometimes when we do it in meditation, it makes it more intense and we feel it more strongly. But ultimately, it's about being increasingly kind with other people just as a matter of daily life, kind of our basic presence. So, in either of those settings, you know, formal or informal, traditionally, there are four categories of wishes. Wishes for safety, health, happiness, and ease. Ease is sort of a broad statement which includes material well-being. Or at the most basic level, you know, may your roof not leak. You know, kind of like that. All right? So it's wishes for safety, health, happiness, and ease. We can, of course, modify those wishes in any way we want. We can broaden them. We can make them, for example, very simple. May all beings live at ease, live with ease. Or more specific, like, you know, may you, let's say your child, may you be happy at school today. Or may you feel the you know, approval of you from the audience when you perform in the play tonight. Or whatever that is. You can be quite specific if you like. So those are the four kinds of wishes, basically, right? Safety, health, happiness, and ease. And then also there are the five targets. Who do we intend to be safe or healthy or happy or at ease? And we intend benefactors, in other words, people who've been a teacher or a major figure in our life, a grandparent, a coach, could be an historical figure, could be living or dead, so benefactor. Second, a friend. And a friend could be a family member, a mate, a child, a pet, a best friend, a good buddy from the office, a friend. Third, a neutral person. Neutral, broadly defined. Neutral could be, frankly, a lot of the other people in this sitting group. People who you know and you wish well to, you're pretty neutral about. And then fourth, the difficult person, sometimes called the enemy. And, you know, thinking of that person as the enemy, okay, sometimes that has a certain pointedness to it. Often it's just simply called the difficult person. And then last, yourself. Okay? You see those structures? Now, if you're doing it informally in meditation, people do it in different ways. Sometimes they do a wish per breath, so it can become a kind of concentration practice. Or they simply just rest in the feeling of the intention, the loving kindness, and then after a while they shift on to another person. So what I'd like to do here is play around with the forms a little bit and actually guide you through, kind of rapidly if even, some of the different forms, and then let's talk about it. Okay? So, as always, you're very welcome to ignore my suggestions. That's what they are. Only suggestions. And so let's start, if you will, by picking a benefactor. In other words, pick someone that you just naturally feel a lot of gratitude for. They've really been kind to you. They've helped you. They've been good to you. And you naturally have warmth toward them. And for a minute or so, let's work through the four phrases in their simple form, one per breath. So the first one being, may you, and you can use their name or not. You can visualize them in front of you or not. May you be safe. Next breath, may you be healthy. Next, may you be happy. And then, may you live with ease. So let's experiment with a simple form for a benefactor for a minute or so. And I'll ring the little chimes, or I'll ring the gong when it's time to move on. And then, how about the same four wishes for a friend? And if you get to the end of the four before I ring the gong, just start over again. One per breath. And now, a neutral person. May you be safe, healthy, happy, and live with ease. One wish per breath. Now a difficult person. This is one of the most interesting ones to explore. One wish per breath for the difficult person. And last, yourself. Four wishes, one per breath for yourself. Okay. So that was an experiment. What did you notice? What did you learn? Oh, I thought I saw a hand over there. Great. Yeah, Ellen. That's great. That's great. Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't do the person that is problematic. I mean, I went as far as maybe healthy, and I already could see myself ripping the arm of a
And making him take his vitamins with it, right? No. Yeah, so that was interesting. Huh? Sometimes what works is to start with a relatively easy, difficult person. You know, someone at work who has good qualities and bad. He's a little irritating, but, you know, you like him, sort of. But then all the way out. For many people, the difficult person is a political figure. Depending on your politics, you know, one end of the spectrum or another. Yeah. That's interesting. Thank you. Yeah?
I specifically chose a very difficult because I want to feel and uh-huh. I can feel everything. They had all the energy just changing my body. And, but as I kept at it, even just for a minute, it was slowly going back down. And then,
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I definitely really like doing it. And Rick and I were talking about something earlier, and he suggested that I do just kind of a general gratitude meditation today, which I attempted in the earlier set. And I just found it was so distracting that there was no possibility to just kind of have gratitude. Because it just, you know, as soon as I would think of something to be grateful for, I'd be in the mind stream. And I'm definitely working on trying to not be right in the mind stream. Whereas this has so much focus. Like, I wouldn't want to just do this nebulous either, except the breath, each one. And then it really, for me, even this little bit, is kind of a, you know, getting bigger. And same thing of wanting to do it more, you know, for more people.
Great, thank you. What an interesting comment about us, that we want to, just like you said, Ellen, you know, that we want to do more. Or that heart naturally moves out. Yeah, Julia.
I kind of think that this, like, meditation is kind of, for me, it's meditation with training wheels. Because I can't, it really, you know, going with the breath, which you, with each phrase, you know, it really does focus me. And I've done it just the other way, starting with myself, and then finding that it just kind of naturally spills over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm naturally, it's almost like for me that's the beginning. You know, it's almost like when I can take care of myself, then I feel very generous towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
But if I feel like, oh, I'm not taking care of myself, then I'm, you know, don't have enough, you know, then I don't feel as generous
with others. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Widely, you know, a lot of people, that's a really right on observation, right? That, you know, part of our capacity to give to others, it's hard to do unless our own heart is already full. Although I must say I've known a number of people who are very loving, who have a hard time loving themselves. So, yeah. Bill?
Well, I started off with, I stumbled because I had a little trouble with the benefactor. I chose somebody who's dead, and I wonder if anybody else did that and how you did with that. I felt a little bit silly speaking these statements to a dead person. And then I did change to direct them to somebody who's still living. And I thought I'd be interested to hear what others had, if anybody had that experience, how they did with it. I really didn't do well with that one, for a dead benefactor.
Anybody else pick a dead person?
And whether you have a comment
on it. Oh, how was that for you?
It was very easy. It was very full. And
yeah.
Because it was a person from when I was a child, there was a lot of easy feeling. It was real complicated.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay, good. How about you? Do you want to say how that was?
Yeah, well, I picked a parent, and it felt good because it feels like their spirit is still alive.
Yeah.
Still continuing.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard that in Southeast Asia, which has a very strong kind of culture related to ghosts, and ancestors and so forth, that it's generally advised to not to pick a person who's no longer living. I'm not sure entirely why, you know, but obviously there's a range of experiences people have with that one. See what works for you. Anybody else have anything striking?
The person that I chose was not Tricia, but a very close, relative who I love very much, but very difficult. And it was a little bit tough at first, but I repeated it several rounds, and it got really good. It got very, very, very comfortable to do, and I liked it.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, please, in the back. Yeah. Swung for the fences.
But what was cool about it is that as I was doing the phrases, he became more like another person.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of this bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
It became human. And I did think of him, and I thought maybe he'd be healthy. I thought about what it's like to be him. Is he healthy? And he's getting kind of older. And so he became human to me.
Ah, good. Thank you. I noticed that when I chose a difficult person, it made me feel better to wish her well. Interesting.
So. I think my difficult person is I chose someone from work, and I found it very difficult to go through each one because, you know, I'm not biased. I really don't want this person to be happy or healthy.
Yeah.
But then when I got to ease, it sort of clicked with me, and I said, well, if this person was safe and happy and healthy, then they would live with ease. And if they lived with ease, they wouldn't be so difficult.
Yeah. Right on. Exactly right. That's great. Okay. Well, let's play with a little different variation of the technique here. And this time, I encourage you to do two people and focus on using different phrases, and in particular allow your own insight or intelligence into that person to guide your wishes for them. So it might be a coworker who's a friend, or it could be a coworker who's a difficult person, it could be a family member. But your wishes come from benevolence, and yet allow them to be kind of detailed and customized for that person. Okay, we'll do that, and then I'll ask you to do the same thing for yourself. Okay? So, and you need, and what I encourage you to try to do is try to not get lost in thought. Try to generate one wish with every few thoughts, you know, if not every thought. I mean, one wish every few breaths, or even one wish per breath for that person. Okay? Well, let's try that. So everybody kind of take a big breath, get centered, pick that person. Who is that person for you? Not yourself at first. That you're going to customize loving kindness for. All right, let's begin. We'll do this for a couple minutes and see what happens. It's actually fine to stay with one wish for the person as long as you're centered in it, and then see if another wish for them comes forward that's customized, maybe after a number of breaths. And then let's switch to yourself. Again, you can have customized wishes, one per breath, or have one arise and just sort of stay with it till it seems to complete itself or another one comes forward for yourself that are based on some insight into what would really serve you best. Okay. How was that? What did you see? What did you learn? How was that? Let's start with the other person, not yourself. Well, yeah, Bill.
What I found in that one, again, it was not Tricia, but another difficult, close person that I love. The interesting thing was that each of the statements that I came up with were really the same. In other words, safety, health, not so much, but certainly safety, happiness, and at ease kind of seemed to be, would come forward with her addressing a certain problem area. The same problem area would satisfy all three of those, and maybe health as well. And similarly for myself, without going into specific detail, I found that all three and maybe even four of them centered really around my resolving one thing, same thing.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Yeah, Tarne.
If I'm left to my own devices, I don't want to use the word so much.
Yeah.
And because it seems like I'm picking and choosing for the person, and I don't know that I should be picking and choosing. So I sort of enveloped that person in a kind of an embryonic sack of compassion.
Yeah.
Just let them float in it.
Yeah, that's great, and I totally want to endorse that, that it said that sometimes what will happen is we'll move past the words, especially if we use these as the structure of a concentration practice, like on a retreat or during a sitting, we move past the words, and it's perfectly fine. Other people sometimes really appreciate the words because it keeps grounding it, and it's kind of like paying attention to the breath. It helps you know, attention not spin out into space, either way. All right, other people? Yeah, great. Harold.
It helped focus on the person and you sort of guided us to think of it in a way of using our insight into them as what they would benefit from.
Yeah.
And to kindle that loving kindness. And with that in mind, that was pretty useful.
Yeah, did anyone discover that a kind of intelligence arose in yourself? That had insight, that broke ground, when you kind of opened to like a wish for that person, that you suddenly, the word that arose, or words, was actually insightful. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that that would happen, but it did, so it's good. Yeah, Jen, did you want to say anything, or no?
No.
Okay, other people? Or?
Yeah, that yeah. was my experience, is sort of mind drifting until it sort of hit something that really hooked. What was
needed
for both?
Yeah.
The core of. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I think if you focus on someone that I picked someone that I knew fairly well, but when I got to think, well, what will make this person mm-hmm. safe? You know, it's amazing how much I really know about this person. And mm-hmm. all the different sort of categories that I wouldn't have, you know. But I didn't know I was carrying those things around. And so it's a lot, it makes a good expression of the feeling, the intentions feel a lot more genuine or deep than just, you know, I hope you're happy.
Yeah, that's great. How about for yourself? What was it like to have some, just open up to, you know, intelligent good wishes for yourself? Yeah, Jan.
Well, actually, the thing that happened to me is I'm like kind of an anxious person. And so, of course, I ran the gamut on, may you be safe, may you be, and then it was like, I got it, it was, may you be brave, you know, mm-hmm. but that's actually what's kind of lacking here. And, uh-huh. you know, it's just great to kind of sit in that.
Oh, that's great, yeah, that's great. Harold.
For some reason doing this, both of these exercises, we're just like giving this, or your intuitive awareness of what you need, or is a chance, giving that intuition a chance, that spiritual insight a chance
yeah.
to come out.
Yes. Great. Very good. Okay. Well, I propose we sit for another couple minutes, do one last form of this with a twist. And that'll be the wrap for the evening, okay? Okay, great. So, and we won't discuss this last one, we'll just sort of do it, although we could chat about it if you want afterward amongst yourselves on the way out the door. Okay, so, kind of pull into yourself and take the Buddha's words to radiate. Imagine or sensing that you are radiating loving kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded. Just take a moment to get a sense, if you can, of just omnidirectionally radiating good wishes, loving kindness. Omitting none. Experiencing the whole of your awareness infused with kindness, radiating in all directions, without beginning or end. abiding as a ground of loving kindness. And then as that ground, being aware that there is loving kindness radiating toward you as well from 20 other people in this room. Aware of one large-scale field of loving kindness without beginning or end. A ground of loving kindness, not yours, not theirs, no difference, radiating in all directions, upward, downward, front and back, side to side. Abiding as that ground of loving kindness without distinction. May our sincere efforts help free ourselves and other beings from suffering and its causes. Thank you.